Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Now keep in mind that this passage is about feeding 5,000 men. Let's read John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets, with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, you're reading one of the most famous miracles that Jesus ever did. By cross-referencing, we will discover a number of very interesting details that are not obviously discerned on the first reading. This miracle shows up in all 4 Gospels, and that in itself makes it a rather unique type of historical record. Not even the virgin birth is in all 4 Gospels. Now, we're going to examine this particular miracle from 3 different aspects. We're going to look at it from the historical application, we're going to look at its doctrinal application, and we're going to look at its spiritual application. Now, today, we'll only have time to look at the historical application because we're going to cross-reference the verses of Scripture in all 4 Gospels to get the full story, the full account of what happened here. Then tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll go through and look at the doctrinal and the spiritual application that is associated with this particular passage of Scripture. Now, simply speaking, every passage in the Bible has 3 applications. The historical application is that it was something that was said or done at a time when it was recorded, and obviously, the Bible has every event that's in here recorded up until the close of the book of Revelation. And all these things have a historical application. They also have a doctrinal application. That is, they speak and teach a particular doctrinal truth. That doctrinal truth is not relative. It is always the same, no matter what part of the world you're in and no matter what time period you're reading this thing in. And then there is the spiritual application, and every one of us, as we read and study a passage of Scripture, are going to glean spiritual truth that may not be anything like anybody else gleans out of the passage of Scripture, but it's something that is going to be important to us at the time that we read the passage of Scripture. Now, some spiritual truth is very similar to other spiritual truth that other people glean, and sometimes it's very unique. But in this particular case, we'll look at some spiritual truth that will have application to a broad number of us Christians. So you understand there are three applications. In this case, the doctrinal application of John chapter 6 is prophetic. This miracle is going to point to something that will happen during the tribulation, but more on that tomorrow. Now, let's look at the historical application of this miracle. Okay? The historical application of this miracle is the following. And we'll look at all of the various passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that deal with this miracle. And what you're going to learn is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not contradictory. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are supplementary. That is, if you and I and two other people were eyewitnesses to a particular event and we were asked to write down in, let's say, 10 or 12 sentences what we saw, we would each write down those things that are particularly interesting to us. We would not all write down exactly the same thing, but if you took everybody's account that was an eyewitness and you added those accounts together and allowed each account to be supplemental to the other account, then you would get the perspective of all four witnesses and you would have a fuller picture of what took place. That's what we're reading about here. And each one of these writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, gave us some detail, but not all the details. And when you put it all together, you get all the details. And the first thing we find out about this historical event of feeding 5,000 men is that it took place in a desert place near Bethsaida. Look in Luke chapter 9 at verse 10. Luke chapter 9 at verse 10. And we read this. The apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida, to get there from here, you could actually take a boat. In other words, it's near Bethsaida, but because this place is on the coast of the Sea Tiberias, and because Bethsaida is on the coast, you could actually get to this desert place by boat. For that, look in Mark chapter 6 at verse 45. Mark chapter 6 and look at verse 45. After the miracle takes place, the Lord told his disciples, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So notice it's the type of place that you could get to from Bethsaida by boat, which his disciples did in reverse. They went from this desert place to Bethsaida by boat after the miracle was performed, but also it is the type of place that you could get to by foot. Look in verse 11 of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 11, the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Now, it doesn't say in Luke chapter 9 how those people got there, but we know how they got there. They followed him on foot out of the cities. Look in Matthew chapter 14 at verse 13. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. See, he got there by boat. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So you get there either way. It's a coastal thing that is accessible by land and by the lake, the Sea Tiberias, by land and by sea. All right, the second thing we want to notice about this historical miracle is that this desert place is not a sandy, uninhabited desert. It is an uninhabited area of green grass. In other words, we use the word desert today to signify a place that is without much grass. You know, we're thinking in terms of desert sands. But the way the Bible uses the word desert, it talks about a place that is deserted. That is, it's uninhabited. It is a wilderness area. Look in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and look at verse 39. And you'll notice that in this particular place there was a lot of green grass. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Okay, so now we know something else about the place. It's uninhabited, but it is lush in growth. Now, the miracle takes place late in the day. In other words, what's happened is that these 5,000 men that came to hear Jesus because he was a miracle worker, who came and some of them were healed because Jesus Christ could do that, stayed with him all the day to listen to him teach. And when the day got late, then they decided, you know, then that it was time for these people to eat. Look in Luke chapter 9, verse 12. Luke chapter 9 and look at verse 12. When the day began to wear away, notice in verse 11 of Luke chapter 9, Jesus had been speaking to them of the kingdom of God and he had healed them. So, there had been a healing and teaching time that took them to the end of the day. Verse 12 says, the day began to wear away. Mark chapter 6, verse 35 says, when the day was now far spent. See that? So it's late in the day. They're out of getting out of daylight. And as a result of that, the disciples are concerned that these people need something to eat because they all ran after Jesus Christ, not knowing how long they would stay. But they didn't concern themselves with food. They didn't pack a lunch. They just ran to meet Jesus. And as a result of that, the disciples said, send them away that they may go into the cities and villages nearby and buy something to eat. Look in Matthew chapter 14 at verse 15. Notice how we're looking at references in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them record this particular miracle. Matthew chapter 14, look in verse 15. When it was evening, there you go, evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. It's spelled victuals, V-I-C-T-U-A-L-S, but like the Beverly Hillbillies, it's pronounced victuals. So the Beverly Hillbillies was a very modern, up-to-date use of the word that comes right out of a King James Bible. No reason to change this. You wouldn't know what Granny was talking about on the Beverly Hillbillies unless you were a King James Bible reader. She was talking about something to eat, victuals. That's a good word. All right, and he said they need to, and it's the disciples that came up with the idea to send them away. But not only did they say that they may go away and buy something to eat, but also, since it was the day was far spent, look in Luke chapter 9, look at verse 12. When the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. So they wanted them to buy something to eat, and they wanted them to lodge in, you know, a place to stay, like a hotel or an inn. Now, this is very important. It may not appear important to you right now, but when we actually study the prophetic doctrinal application of this passage tomorrow, Lord willing, you will see that lodging near the wilderness and eating near the wilderness and attempting to buy something to eat becomes very important in the doctrinal application. Just register that in your mind and then wait till tomorrow to hear what it has to do with. Okay, so it's a desert place near Bethsaida. You can get to it by boat or by foot. It's not desert in the sense of a desert sand. There's green grass there. Jesus was healing and teaching, and until it got late. The people made no provision for their meal, so the disciples said, send them away so they can go into the villages and buy food to eat and find a place to lodge. What else happened? At this time, Jesus said to them, there's no need for them to depart. Look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 16. Matthew chapter 14, verse 16. See, you don't get all this by reading John. In John chapter 6, Jesus goes right into asking Philip a question about buying bread. But by looking at the cross reference from all these other chapters in the Bible, we find out, in fact, there was a lot that went on before that question was asked. Jesus said, in response to the request that the disciples said, you know, dismiss the crowd, send them away. Jesus said there's no need for them to part. Look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. Now that was a real shock to the disciples, because they didn't come prepared to feed that many people. As a matter of fact, they hadn't made provision for themselves. Evidently, the disciples were getting hungry, said, dismiss the crowd, man. It's time to eat. Let them go eat, and then, you know, without saying it, that'll give us a chance to go eat ourselves. Jesus said, there's no need for them to part. You give them something to eat. Well, that was kind of a shock, you know, so the disciples responded in Mark chapter 6. If it's our responsibility to feed these guys, Mark chapter 6, verse 37, give ye them to eat, and they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, this is an interesting statement here. There are 5,000 men, you know that because you know the miracle is famous. We'll see exactly how many people there were at the end of the historical application. We find out, in fact, that there are 5,000 men, and in addition to the 5,000 men, there are women and children. And they say, should we go into the city and buy 200 penny worth of bread? Well, you know, if you think about pennies today, that's $2, and $2 isn't going to buy very much food. No, in studying the Bible, you'll actually go to Matthew chapter 20, and there Jesus Christ negotiates with some people. I mean, it's the parable, but it's about Jesus Christ. It's about a householder who hires laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So a penny is a day's wage for a laborer. And that penny would be enough money to buy enough food to feed 25 men plus women and children bread. Okay? So the question comes up when Jesus says, you give them something to eat. Their first response is, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So the penny is enough to buy enough bread to feed 25 men, plus women and children, one meal. Well, Jesus, when he heard them say that, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Jesus turned to Philip and said in John chapter 6, verse 5, let's flip over there. Jesus said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So the disciples are the one that raised the question, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread? Then Jesus says to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now it makes more sense why Jesus Christ asked that question. Where are we going to go to buy that kind of bread? Verse 6, this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus Christ will do that from time to time. He'll ask questions because he wants to find out what the people are thinking about or where their faith is. He asked them a question one time. He said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, Elijah, Jeremiah, or that great prophet. Whom do you say that I am? Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that proved to Jesus Christ that God Almighty had revealed that to Peter. So he asked this to prove, Philip, you guys say you're going to go into town and buy 200 penny worth of bread. Jesus says, where are you going to get that kind of bread that these may eat? He knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to see what Philip would say. So Philip answered. You know what his answer was? It's in verse 7. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them they may take a little and eat. That's a pretty good question. That's a pretty good answer. In other words, he didn't even try to figure out what bread store might have that kind of bread for him to be able to do that thing. He just said, hey, that's not even going to be enough to take care of all these people. Then in Mark chapter 6, Jesus Christ asked them another question after Philip's answer. Mark chapter 6, verse 38, then Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. So they're kind of surprised now because they know they didn't bring anything. And they look around there and they see this multitude didn't bring anything. So he says, check it out, see how many loaves you have in Mark chapter 6, verse 38. Andrew went around looking along with the other disciples, and Andrew discovered what was there in John chapter 6, verse 30, John chapter 6, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? So Andrew went, so did the other disciples, and he found that kid that had that little sack lunch there, those five loaves and those two small fishes. But what are they among so many? That's not enough, certainly, to take care of all that. That's not even enough to take care of us 12. And somebody adds a comment on the end of what Andrew said in Luke chapter 9, verse 13. Luke chapter 9, verse 13, the little tag is, we have no more but five loaves and two fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people, which was the original thing. They said, are we supposed to go buy this stuff? And Jesus says, when are you going to buy that kind of bread? Philip said, that's not even enough. Jesus says, well, go check and see how much you have. Andrew finds the five loaves and the two fishes and reports that to Jesus. And then the question comes up again, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. You know, in other words, we've still got a problem here. At that, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 14, verse 18, Matthew chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus said, bring them here. Bring them hither to me. Now he's getting ready to perform the miracle. So they bring the five loaves and the two fishes to Jesus, and then Jesus commands them to make the people sit down by hundreds and by fifties. Now look in Mark chapter 6, verse 40. Mark chapter 6, verse 40. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. We find out from Luke chapter 9, verse 14, the Lord had told the disciples to sit them down by companies and by fifties. There were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. All right, so the company would be 100 people, and the fifties would be two groups of fifties inside of that company of 100. Kind of ranking them like a military style, but he gets those people all sorted out there in that desert place. Then after that, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus Christ, after they sit down in the grass, took the five loaves and the two fishes. He first of all looked up to heaven. Secondly, he blessed the loaves and the fishes. Third, he broke them. Fourth, which isn't recorded in Matthew, he gave thanks, like John chapter 6, verse 11 says. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, so he looked up to heaven. He blessed them, he broke them, he gave thanks, and then he gave the loaves and the fishes to the disciples, and the disciples gave the loaves and the fishes to the people. Again, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, he gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And after that stuff was distributed, that must have been a sight, you know. Jesus Christ just broke that stuff up and just kept multiplying. Every time they came back to get more from Jesus, there was always more to give. That's a strange thing, you know that? Boy, we're going to surely get an interesting spiritual application out of that tomorrow, don't you know? I'm looking forward to teaching it. I pray you're looking forward to hearing it, because there's a great truth in that thing. But after he had distributed that bread through the disciples to that multitude, you know what? Philip's concern was that 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be sufficient to feed all that multitude to their satisfaction. They'd all get a little, but he wouldn't satisfy them. Well, let me tell you something. After Jesus Christ blessed, break, and gave thanks for that stuff and distributed it, we know what happened to them according to Mark chapter 6, verse 42. They did all eat and were filled. So Jesus Christ did better than if they'd gone into town and buy that amount of bread. And not only that, after they were filled, he told the disciples to go back through the crowd, and guess what they did? They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, according to Mark chapter 6, verse 43. So they had 5 little loaves and 2 fishes, and by the time everybody was finished eating and filled, they still had 12 baskets full left over. Don't know how big the baskets were, but let me see if I remember correctly. There are 12 disciples. That means everybody's going to at least get one more meal off the deal after everybody else had been filled. That's pretty good. Now, how many people were fed? Look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So the group was actually bigger than 5,000. When we talk about feeding the 5,000 in the wilderness, feeding the 5,000 in the desert, you know what? He actually fed more than 5,000. We don't know how many he fed, but it was 5,000 men beside women and children. The consequence then of this miracle, according to John chapter 6, verse 14, is this. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Well, that prophet that should come into the world is the prophet that was prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, and thy brethren like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." That's the prophet that they were looking for. That's the one that was prophesied by Moses. That is the one that Moses said, "I will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee." And he says he's going to be like unto thee, like unto Moses. Oh, that opens a great door to the doctrinal truth of the passage that we've just studied. Because this thing then is going to relate to the feeding of the manna in the wilderness. As a matter of fact, after the feeding, notice what happened on verse 31 of John chapter 6. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." These people relate that miracle back to the feeding in the desert. That's going to show you some of the great doctrinal and prophetic application of what we're looking at. But, of course, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow to get that. I hope this study, then, has opened to you the full document of what took place historically with the feeding of the 5,000.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.